Amen. Have a seat there, if you will. That last verse, it said, after whom is the king of Israel come out? After whom dost thou pursue? After a dead dog? After a flea? King Saul hated David. He was possessed with a hatred for David. The scripture, you hear Saul say certain things. Saul said, I'll smite David to the wall. Saul said, let the hand of the Philistines be upon him. Speaking of David, Saul, the Bible says, David had eyed David continually. If you look in the scripture, you'll see many, many times where Saul is out to kill David. Now, the great warrior Saul had been warring with the Philistines. And he was told that David, the one after whom he was chasing, was hiding in the wilderness of En-Gedi. The Bible says that Saul, finding out that David is in the wilderness, Saul gathers 3,000 of his soldiers to go chase little David. Now, if you ask me, that's a little bit of overkill. Saul got 3,000 people together to go after just little old David. And David and a few of his men, we find, are hiding in a cave in the wilderness. And Saul goes through that part of the wilderness, and Saul decides to take a nap. So, now, picture this. Saul would like to find David to kill him. David is hiding in a cave in the wilderness. Saul has no idea, but Saul goes to take a nap, and he takes his nap in the entryway or the entrance of the very cave in which David is hiding. So Saul goes in there, and he lays down, and he's, you know, sawing logs, snoring. And David is in the back, and a couple of David's men said, right there, Saul, you can kill him. And David said, I am not going to kill him. He's the Lord's anointed. Well, the next thing you know, old David pulls out his pocket knife. And I always say this here. Every boy ought to be carrying a pocket knife with him. And old David pulls out his pocket knife. And he sneaks up to where Saul is snoring away. And he cuts off a tassel off of Saul's garment. He sticks it in his pocket, closes up his case pocket knife, sticks that in his pocket. David goes to the back of the cave and he hides. Saul wakes up and he leaves. Much time passes, and David and Saul come face to face. And, you know, Saul reminds David that he can't stand him and he's mad at him and everything. And then David said, you know, Saul, I could have killed you had I wanted to. And Saul said, how so? And David said, remember that day you were in the wilderness of En-Gedi? And Saul said, how do you know about that? David said, do you remember you decided to take a nap? And Saul said, how did you know about that? David said, do you remember you took a nap in a certain cave? And Saul said, how did you know about that? And David said, I knew about that because I was in the cave. And Saul said, no way. No, that's not possible. Of course, he said that in Hebrew. He said, no way. And David reaches into his pocket, pulls out two things, his case pocket knife and that little tassel that he cut off. He put the pocket knife away, held out the tassel, and he said, do you remember this? Saul said, I remember that. That was taken off my garment. And David said, I took the very pocket knife I had in my pocket and I cut it off that day I could have killed you. The Bible says, and Saul ends up saying, he said, boy, you're a bigger man than I, because had I been able to do that to you, I would have killed you. That's where you find yourself in this story that we just read. That's where you hear these words. After whom is the king of Israel, that Saul, come out? After whom dost thou pursue? After a dead dog? After a flea? Just so I can apply this right for you, the flea that we're speaking of here is David. Saul, according to the scripture, was chasing, in God's opinion, a flea. Saul was chasing a flea. But I want you to, for a moment, to think of the greatness of Saul. Saul, the Bible says, was a king who was a choice young man. Saul was a king who stood head and shoulders above every other man in Israel. Saul was a king who was kingly in his appearance. He was a king who he was best friends with the prophet Samuel. This man named Saul, who was chasing a flea, he wore the garments of royalty. This king, who was chasing a flea, he held the king's scepter. He had more power than any other human being alive at that time. This man named Saul, this king that was chasing David to flee, this man had an entire country to follow him, an entire army that he could command. He is the most powerful, bombastic leader alive at that time. And God chose to put in the scripture about this bombastic, head and shoulders tall above everybody else leader. God said, Saul, you're chasing a flea. Huh. Chasing a flea. Did you know the biggest thing going in Saul's life at that time was not little old David? And that's exactly what God is saying. God is saying, Saul, what are you doing? You're chasing a flea and you've got a country to run. You're chasing a flea and David's not your enemy. David's not trying to hurt you. You have the Philistines as an enemy. What are you doing chasing a flea? I'll tell you what he was doing. He was prostituting his authority while chasing a flea. He was floundering his energy while chasing a flea. He was cheapening his royalty while he was chasing a flea. He was dishonoring his majesty while he was chasing a flea. He was weakening his power while chasing a flea. He was blinding his vision while he was chasing a flea. He was crippling his productivity while he was chasing a flea. He was poorly investing his wealth while he was chasing a flea. He was wasting his life while chasing a flea. He was eroding his time while chasing a flea. He was souring his sweetness while chasing a flea. He was defeating his victory while he was chasing a flea. God said, what are you doing chasing a flea? You're bigger than that. You've got other things that are more important than that. He was shooting at a sparrow using a cannon. He was running over an ant while driving a tank. He was fighting a mouse while riding on an elephant. What a waste! Chasing a flea. Have you ever noticed that the fleas of life sometimes get the best of us? You know, Mrs. Owens and I was preaching in, I was somewhere. I can't remember where I've been. But I was somewhere in North Carolina, and we went into a Waffle House to eat. And when we went in and sat down, I love to go to Waffle House and eat. I mean, greasy, nasty, but I love Waffle House. Amen. It's a good eating, I'm telling you. But I went into Waffle House, and as usual, when we went in and sat down, there were flies. And one fly. Now, I'd like to say that one fly almost ruined my meal, but you can't ruin a meal at Waffle House. The flies come there to eat, and it's good eating. But I got to tell you, that fly had come around my food, and I'd swat at it, and then it'd land on my head, and I'd swat at it, and then it landed on Mrs. Owens' head, and I got it. No, I didn't. But that fly, it just about ruined the meal. One little fly messed up 30 minutes of my time. Have you noticed what a fly can do at a picnic? Have you noticed what one mosquito that you can't get can do to you? You can wake up the next day and look like you've got chicken pox. Now, you got to be careful. Down in West Virginia, they've got mosquitoes, but they got buck teeth. But if they bite a Baptist, they fly away singing there's power in the blood. But one flea, one fly, hey, what they can do to us. You ever get a pebble in your shoe? One little pebble that you can barely see. Well, you can get a pebble in your shoe and it'll rub you raw. You get a pebble in your shoe, start walking around the mall, and before long, you're sitting down somewhere cranking off your shoe and your sock in front of everybody. Let everybody see them stinky, dirty toenails of yours. You say, why would I dare let that happen? How can I humiliate myself? You got to get rid of the pebble. A pebble can do something to you. I'm going to tell you all something. If the devil can't get you using what we might call the big sins of life, and I think all sins are big, but if the devil can't get you using the big sins of life, I'll guarantee you he'll get you with the little ones. He'll get you with the little ones. I got to tell you this story. God provided this story for me. I was out soul winning, and I went up on a, I was at a mobile home park. Right at the front of a mobile home, there's this great big dog. And I mean, he was a big dog. And he had a big bowl of food sitting right in front of him, and he was kind of laying down and had one paw on this side and one paw on this side, and he's sitting there hoovering over his meal. And this is the kind of dog, when he barks, he goes, oh, 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 oh. A big dog, a big dog. And that big old dog, he was protecting his food. Then there was a little dog. One of those little dogs that bark and they go, eeny, eeny. It looks like a rat that's been shaved. And this little dog went over and he tried to get some of that big dog's food. And the minute that little dog got close to that food, that big old dog went, woof, woof, and that boy, that little dog backed off. Giddy, giddy. Well, that little dog come up to try again, and that big old dog went, woof, woof, and that little dog backed off. Here's what happened. I just kept watching, and all of a sudden, I watched that big dog do this. He started biting on the back of his neck. You know what happened? A flea got to him. You ever seen a dog go after a flea?
Yes, sir.
Or have you ever seen your mother-in-law go after a flea on her body? But I'll tell you what, that big old dog, he just started going, hang, 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 hang. And that little dog snuck up, started eating food out of that bowl while the big dog was going, hang, 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 hang. That little dog was up there going, nom, 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 nom. The big dog realized what was going around. He turned around and went, woof, woof. That little dog backed off. And it's almost like the little dog went. That big dog sat there for a minute, and all of a sudden, that big dog went, hang, 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 hang. Started biting on that flea. That little dog came up, filled his mouth with food. The big dog swung around. The little dog backed off and went. It went on till the little dog was full. You know what had happened? What could not take place in a big way, a little flea made sure it happened. The big dog let the little flea ruin him. Can I tell you all something? Devil's smart. The devil's smart. Now, don't crucify me. The name of my sermon is, do you need a spiritual flea collar? It's going to go down in history like fresh oil and payday someday and sinners in the hands of an angry God. Dr. Jeff Owens, do you need a spiritual flea collar? But let me ask you something, Christian. Do you need a spiritual flea collar? Are you letting the little things of life eat you up? And let me tell you, when I'm around what I would call good Christians, might I warn you? Because good Christians, where it doesn't seem like the devil causes you to trip up over what we might call the bigger, more devastating sins of life, he could be cleaning your ever-loving clock by all the little things that he's using to eat up your life. Let me show you what I mean. Do you chase fleas at church? Do you nitpick so much that you don't see the big things that God wants to do? Are you a flea chaser? Psalm 122 verse 1 says, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. You know, I've been pastoring and been around church work for a long, long time. And I'm telling you, it's sometimes people get so worried sick about some of the smallest little things. There's somebody in here, you are just so worried sick. Some one of the bus kids got a piece of bubble gum on the carpeting. And oh, you have fretted over that, and it's bothered you, and you've just about had it with the bus ministry, and you don't understand that. Can I tell you something? Instead of fretting over a little piece of gum, don't you think you ought to be excited about the value of that bus child's life and the fact that that little boy that dribbled his gum on the carpet got saved? Don't let the little things get you off track of the big thing. Somebody here, you're worried sick because you've seen some dirty dishes in the sink here at the kitchen. But you didn't recognize the powerful movement of the Holy Spirit during the service. Huh. Someone took your parking spot out in the parking lot. And that just ruined your morning. When you should have been glad that a visitor came. You let the... This is what you were like on Sunday morning. We do it.
Yes, sir.
We do this. Hey, if you can't find something big wrong, find something little wrong. Sometimes we make issues of little things, folks. Hey, let me tell you something. Before you complain about something little, let me ask you this question. When's the last time you won someone to Jesus Christ, got them baptized, brought them to church, and helped them to become a founded member of the church? You want to talk about one of the big issues? That's a big issue. So I say, a light bulb that was burnt out. Yeah, it might be yours, buddy. Do you need a spiritual flea collar? Hey, do you chase fleas at work? The Bible says in Psalm 90:10 that there's strength in labor. Can I tell you something, folks? We ought to be glad we have a job. Amen. Thank God you have a job. There are a lot of people out there who do not have a job. And what we can do is we can go to work and we can let some of the stupidest little things get us to the point where we're miserable and we don't want to be there and we're not thankful for having a job. Hey, folks, let me recommend at work that you look at what you have instead of looking at the few things that you don't have, and don't go to work and go, nom, 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 nom. You've got one employee at work, and he's the pebble in your shoe. There's that one employee at work, and she is at the office, and boy, she's the fly that you just, you feel like. And you know what you can do? There can be 25 people that work where you work, and there's one that gets on your nerves, and you've just about had it. You're going to quit that job because of that one person. Watch out for the fleas in life. They can mess you up. Fleas blind us to what God has given us. The fleas make us feel like we're getting cheated when we're not. We're busy looking at what we don't have instead of what we do have. And we're busy looking at the negatives instead of the positive. Do you need a spiritual flea collar at work? Okay, look, you say, well, something didn't go well down at work. Well, why don't you just think about this? Think about the fact that they did give you a Christmas paid off. And they did give you some insurance. Or they gave you some sick days. Or they gave you a coffee break. Or they gave you Thanksgiving off. Maybe they gave you some vacation. Maybe they gave you some overtime. Did you know that they matched your Social Security? Did you know they gave you some money so you could feed your family? Did you know that they trained you to do the job? You say, well, I just don't like the way they do it. I'll tell you what you might want to do. Maybe you want to take all your money and go out and buy you a building and buy you some trucks and buy you some equipment, and then you start a business, and then you hire us, and you pay us the way you think we ought to be paid, and pay for our insurance and pay for our Social Security, and give us Christmas off and give us Easter off and give us Thanksgiving off and give us Groundhog's Day off, and you make sure that we get a raise like we ought to get, just like you want. Let me tell you something. It might not be as easy as what you think, and I'm just here to tell you, some of you are miserable at work, and I'll tell you what. Hang on. Hang on. And a little dove comes up and cleans you out. Can I tell you something? If you're going to go to work tomorrow, you might as well make the choice to like it.
Amen.
Why be miserable by choice? Hey, number three. Do you chase fleas with your mate? Your spouse? Hebrews 13:4 says marriage is honorable. Boy, there's a lot in those few words. Honorable. Hey, what little thing are you going to allow to rub you raw in your marital relationship? You say, but Brother Owens, the man won't use a coaster for his tea. And I've just about had it with him. He's going to ruin that coffee table. Do you realize some of the petty little things husbands and wives gripe about? There have been times Mrs. Owens and I had tension, and I look back and I think, why in the world did we let that one silly little thing turn into such an episode? Well, she won't turn off the lights. Okay, I'm sorry. I want the lights turned off. Well, he won't put the lid back on the ketchup bottle. I'm sorry about the ketchup thing. Take it to the divorce courts and ask Judge Judy what to do about the ketchup. But for some of you, you probably have a relatively good marriage, and since the devil can't get you to make the big mistakes of life, he's just going to tear your marriage to shreds over a bunch of petty, little, stupid, gnat, ant, little, silly things. And so you can be miserable without having a reason in the world to be miserable. Do you need a flea collar? Is it your turn at home right now to be going, hang, hang, hang? Yeah. Do you chase fleas with your husband? Yeah, I said, well, he's got weaknesses. Well, you ought to be a brain surgeon. He has weaknesses. You mean he's a sinner? Well, sure he is. But if you'd make a list of his positives and then make a list of his negatives, I promise you the positives will outweigh the negatives. And it's the same thing about your wife. It's almost as if the devil has a way of getting us to zero in on the little things and take... You ever heard the old term, making a mountain out of a molehill? Oh my, are we good at that. Are you chasing fleas in your marriage? Somebody in here, you're going to destroy your marriage over what? And that little dog came up there and he went... He was all smiles. That big old dog turned around... That big dog got taken to the cleaners, not because of the bigger of the two animals, but between the dog and the flea. The flea's what got the best of him. Hey, do you chase fleas with your children? Psalm 127, verse number 3, says, children are an heritage of the Lord. God gave you those children. There's a right and a wrong way to handle them and to treat them. Will you drive your children in the ground over fleas? And parents, listen to this. Will you expect perfection from a child who's been trained by imperfection? Do you throw a fit over the smallest of issues? Do you blow up a tick using an atom bomb? Do you run over mites using a bulldozer? Do you light your child's birthday candles with a flamethrower of your vengeance and wrath? There's some of you, you need to realize something. Your kids don't do drugs. They don't listen to bad music. They don't steal. Hey, they're not drinking booze. They're not having sex out of wedlock. They come to church. So what do you attack them about? You can find the dumbest little thing. And boy... And to the young people, let me say to you, Mom and Dad correct you, they love you, and I think you ought to show respect to Mom and Dad, and I think you ought to love Mom and Dad, but I'm just saying to the parents, be careful, parents. If your kids are pretty good kids, you might want to give them credit.
Amen.
Don't destroy them over a flea. Do you know, a little bit of praise goes a long way. I hate it for everybody that's back in school, but school's in session and you're going to get a report card before long. I hated report card day. I hated it. I'll tell you why. I would get my report card and I would go home and I could have 7 A's and 1 C. I'd take it home and hand it to my dad, and my dad would look at the C and say, "What is that?" And I think my dad doesn't even know the alphabet. He would say, "Son, what is that?" I said, "Dad, that's a C." He said, "You're going to go to jail someday, I'm telling you. You're going to go to jail if you don't give your best." And I'm thinking, "But Dad, did you see all the other A's?" He did not see the A's. All he seen was a C. And my dad had my best interest in mind, and I know that he did. But I am going to tell everybody in here, you need to be careful, because somehow as a human race, we have deteriorated to the point that we naturally see the negative and we bypass the positive. And if you're not careful, you could ruin your relationship with your kid over... Please. You need a flea collar? Don't drive a wedge between you and your child over fleas. Don't let fleas break down the communication between you and your child. And there's some of you, you have some adult children. You never have communication with them. And and I'll tell you what the problem is. Some flea got in the road. Somewhere down the line, a mountain was turned into a molehill, and you have distanced yourself from your children. And look, I don't agree with everything that your child does, but I am going to tell you something. You're still supposed to love them, and they ought to know that you love them. Just be careful not to let fleas destroy your relationship with your children. Hey, do you chase fleas in the preaching? 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse number 2 tells us we should preach the Word. We're to be instant, in season, out of season. Look, folks, we need to be careful. You know that every preacher alive, whether it's the guest pastors that are here, whether it's Brother Nash or myself or Brother Campbell, you know, we're human. We're human. And we're not perfect. And we won't do things perfectly. But sometimes, if you're not careful, we're just watching for the preaching, almost as if we're hoping something is said that is wrong. Folks, that's not how... Now, I think we ought to watch for false doctrine. I'm not saying anything different. I'm just here to tell you this. Sometimes we're listening to preaching and we're just looking for a shot to criticize. I don't think that's healthy. And people are so dumb. Dumb. The human race can be so dumb. You know what we'll do? We can agree with the preaching at our church. We can agree with the preacher on 99 issues. And then one day, he says something that we disagree with. And we say, that's it, I've had it, that's it, I'm going up the road, that's it, I'm moving, I'm out of here, I'm going to leave, I disagree with that one thing. And you pack your duds, and you take your big swollen bottom lip, and you go up the road and join a church where you disagree with the pastor on 10 different things. Why are you all so quiet? You okay? You know, about 85% of you, I don't know you, just so you know. I'm not like the United States government. I haven't tapped into all your devices and recording everything that you do and say. I do have the help of the Holy Spirit, though, just in case He's tapping into your system. But I tell you what we do. We can disagree with one little thing, and then we're going to kill somebody. Oh, what is wrong with us? Do you search through the sermon trying to find disagreement? And the nature of the human race it's weak and it's anemic, and we sometimes can have a tendency to think that way. Listen, don't do this with the preaching. What little thing in the preaching has blinded you to the big things God wants in your life? I think sometimes a preacher, whether it's a guest preacher or an evangelist or it's your pastor, he's standing and preaching and one little thing is said and the devil said, I'll get him with this, and that one thing is said at the beginning of the sermon and somehow it goes haywire in your thinking, and so you're all worried about that and fretting about that, and you spend the next 45 minutes worried about that. We close out the sermon and you don't have any idea what was said for the following 44 minutes. And the devil says, gotcha! Gotcha! Hey, young people, do you chase fleas with your parents? The Bible says in Exodus chapter 20, verse number 12, it says, honor thy father and thy mother. Young people, you be very careful, because I think sometimes young people, they mom and dad, they do something or they say something and it offends or it hurts the child's feelings, and before long that child has let that little thing get to them. I've watched young people that won't talk to their mom and won't talk to their dad and avoid them and they won't obey them like they ought to over some little thing that mom and dad has done. Young people, I'll tell you something. You'll regret one day having ignored your mom and dad and hurt your mom and dad and not listened to your mom and dad over some little flea in life. Thank God you have a mom and dad. Thank God your mom and dad have you in church. And moms and dads are not perfect, but God did make them your mom and dad. And you need to listen to them and love them and respect them. And by the way, you need to make sure you don't let some silly little thing ruin your relationship with your mom or some little thing ruin your relationship with your dad. Do you need a spiritual flea collar? That big old dog was just gnawing at that flea, and that little dog, he just scooted up there with a dog smile on his face and went, eebie, eebie, hum, yum, 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 yum. And that big old dog, he'd turn around, that little dog would back off. Folks, I'm going to tell you, the fleas of life can get the best of us. Hey, do you chase fleas in regard to your everyday life? You know, the Bible tells us in Proverbs 3:5, it says, trust in the Lord. In your everyday life, there is to be a trust and a confidence in the Lord. Do you, at the end of every day, say, I don't feel like I got anything done today. I don't feel like I got anything done today. I don't feel like I got anything done today. And some of you, you're like a broken record. I don't feel like I got anything done today. I don't feel like I got anything done today. Do you think there might be a problem? Do you waste your day on the trivial fleas of life and ignore the big things that ought to be done? Do little things keep you away from the big things? Can I tell y'all something? We have to be careful. I'm a bit a detailed-minded person, probably a self-proclaimed perfectionist. But if you're a detailed-minded person, if you're not careful, you won't accomplish anything in a day. Why? Because it's all got to be just right. I mean, so just right, you're not even going to do it today. You can't stand water spots in your sink. Water spots in your sink, it rubs you raw. But then you won't balance your checkbook. Can I tell you something? When they come to repossess your house because your finances are so messed up that you don't know how to make your house payment, you could tell them how clean your sink is. They're going to be proud of you. But folks, I wish I could get the point across somehow. Do you understand what happens to us? The big things in life somehow become secondary. And the primaries, they don't stay primary. And before long, good people are off track. Productive people are unproductive. Why? They're doing this. You let little things keep you away from the big things. Hey, are you chasing fleas in regard to your walk with God? You know, we're to walk with God. It's clearly taught all the way through the Bible. Let me show you what I mean. At prayer time, you go to pray. That is, if you even have a prayer time. But you get up in the morning and it's prayer time. How long do you pray without being interrupted? By doing this. Better check a text. Oh, I need to pray. Okay, I'll pray. I haven't checked my email. I'll check my email. Then I'll pray. I'll pray. I better check the news, see what the weather's like. See if I should wear my rain boots. No, I got to pray. I'll pray. Well, I haven't had my coffee yet. Listen to me. There are people in this room. You do not walk with God. You do not have a prayer time that is consistent at all. I'll tell you why. Fleas. Think about it. Fleas. Was that the toaster? Is that the trash man? I want to see him pick up our trash. Not only in your prayer life is it that way. Let's talk about your Bible reading. How you doing? We live in a generation of people that cannot concentrate. To say, I'm suffering from attention deficit. I did a couple times. My dad gave me, he had medicine for it. It was administered in the woodshed. What's wrong with us? How long can you sit and read? How long can you sit and read? We ought to be ashamed. You know what it is? It's time to read our Bible. We want to check the phone. We want to check the television. Everything under the sun. And the devil says, gotcha. Gotcha. I'm talking to good people tonight. I'm not preaching on sodomy and drunkenness. You know what I'm saying? Good people not getting done what God wanted them to get done in a day because they let the fleas of life get them off track. Weak Christians, we end up being weak because we chase fleas. Hey, I'm almost finished. Stay with me now. Do you chase fleas with some Christian in your church? There's, 3, 4, 5, 6 different churches represented here tonight. 1 John 3:14 says, we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. The Bible says one of the proofs of salvation is that we love the brethren. By the way, I think one of the great appreciations of our salvation is then continuing to love the brethren. Hey, what little thing about somebody in the church, they've become the pebble in your shoe. You say, She always puts her purse and bag on the pew like that. She always puts her purse and bag on the pew like that. Takes up 3 or 4 spaces. She always puts her purse and bag like that. I see her every service. Well, why are you taking so much time watching the stupid little things that she does? What's wrong with you? Are you her stalker?
Come on.
He always parks like that. Well, if it bothers you so much, don't look to where he parks, knucklehead!
Amen.
Right there.
Amen.
We can let the fleas of life ruin our attitude toward each other. You let some little difference become between you and another member, and it can ruin your attitude about coming to church. I mean, it can make it so. See, I've always, at our church, I always teach, it's not that we have to go to church. It's that we get to go to church. And I like that. I like that attitude. I like that approach. But if you're not careful, there's this one guy. And the problem is, he's just so shy. Brother Garland is so shy, it just bothers me. He's so soft-spoken and backwards. He needs to come out of himself. And I'm miserable going to church because he's just so shy as a man. But you know what we can do? We can let something about a brother or a sister get to us to the point where it rubs us raw, and you've just had it with their personality and had it with that thing about them, and before long you're miserable. And the devil says, gotcha. Gotcha. You know, if you would list all the positive attributes of that one person that seems to be the pebble in your shoe, you would find out they've got an awful lot of good things to offer. Matter of fact, one of the primary things is that's God's child.
Amen. Yes,
qualifies him to be a child of the King.
Yes. Yes.
One more point. That's always a happy sound, isn't it? One more point. It's only 32 minutes long. Hey, do you chase fleas when it comes to the primary duty of a Christian? In Revelation chapter 2, verse number 4, it speaks of some churches, I think real churches. And the word is used there that a particular church had lost or left its first love. You know, in Luke chapter 19, verse number 10, it says, "For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost." Don't get mixed up, folks. Primary duty of a Christian is keeping people out of hell.
Amen.
You know, the primary duty of a church is keeping people out of hell.
Amen.
We are the soul-winning center on this earth, the local New Testament church.
Amen.
But you know what? You support the Humane Society, and you support it with all your energy. Hey, and I'm not against that. I'm for that. But you never win anybody to Jesus. How did you make it so that a puppy is more valuable than a child? And I think puppies are valuable. I love dogs. I love animals. But I'm going to tell you something, folks. Somehow, we get to the secondaries of life and let them take the place of the primaries in life.
Yes,
the little things.
Yes,
save the trees. You don't see bumper stickers like that in North Carolina. They hack down every tree they can get their hands on. There are some of you that would rather hug a tree than hug somebody from the nursing home. And you got a problem. And if you love trees, we need trees. But I got to tell you something. How is it that we let the fleas of life become more important? You know, goldfish are people too. Look. You know, you have no interest in changing a life, but you think we should save the whales. There's something wrong with that. Matter of fact, I believe that every Christian is to witness. I believe every Christian is to be winning others to Jesus Christ. I think it is very clearly taught we're to be soul winners as Christians. If your job here at the church is to stir mashed taters at the fellowship, I want you to do it and do it with all your might. But if you have to choose between stirring mashed taters and going soul winning, you better pick soul winning over taters.
Amen.
And you know you could do both. You say, well, my duty here at the church is to mow the grass. I'm glad, and that's a good thing, but it's not more important than getting somebody saved. You say, but I run the vacuum cleaner, and I'm glad that you do. You say, well, I sing in the choir. Well, I'm glad that you do, but I got to tell you something. Nothing takes the place of helping somebody to get born again. And I'll tell you why churches cease to grow. And I'll tell you mistakes that pastors make. We get ourselves so busy with this little thing and that little thing and this little thing and that little thing. The big things of life get put on the back burner. The big thing for a preacher is get your face in the Word of God. Get your knees on the ground. Get the power of God in your life. Get people born again. Make something happen. It's not all the piddly little paperwork and the little things that eat at us. Sometimes, preachers, you got to walk away from the little stuff and get to the big stuff in life.
Amen.
Good people waste their lives doing this. I was soul winning. I looked at that big dog. One paw here, one paw here. He was the king of the hill. He said that little dog. Little dog said, oh, I'm cool. Eeby, eeby. And all of a sudden, hang, 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 hang. And the little dog said, he walked up and he ate. The little dog cleaned the big dog's clock with nary a war. There was not a war. The flea took care of it all. When I read that passage of Scripture from 1 Samuel, chapter 24, verse 14. After whom is the king of Israel come out? After whom dost thou pursue? After a dead dog? After a flea. God said, Saul. Big, powerful King Saul chasing a flea. He was saying, Saul, you're smarter and bigger than that. Don't do that to yourself, Saul. You're humiliating yourself. Hey, sermon like this, I need it. You need it. We can all lose track of what is most important. Let's stay on track. Good Christians let little things add up to become big things and destroy them. Don't let that happen to you. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Every head bowed. Every eye closed.